Hello, I'm Art Levine, host of the Straight Talk television show, now celebrating its 25th anniversary year on air. Over the past 25 years, we've recorded more than 500 shows and interviewed nearly 1,000 guests. As part of our 25th anniversary celebration, we have selected 25 of our most memorable shows to re-air as Straight Talk classics. This show is one of those classics. We trust you will enjoy seeing a part of Long Beach history, one of the many political leaders who have been our guest, or some of the nationally known actors, singers, and distinguished speakers who have visited us. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a Straight Talk Classic. The Straight Talk Classic series is brought to you through the generous support of SCAN, celebrating 40 years of keeping seniors healthy and independent.
Broadway, television, Long Beach, and the country suffered a terrible loss when Nell Carter died suddenly on January 23rd, just before she was to open in the starring role of ICT's production of the hit musical Raisin. This Straight Talk show, taped just 1 week before she died, was her last television interview. Nell was generous enough to cut several cross promos for us, and we've added them to this show to indicate her warmth, wit, and graciousness. They will not be aired again. This Straight Talk show is dedicated to the memory of Nell Carter, a warm and talented lady. She truly will be missed.
She stands in the face of evil and will not lose hope or faith. America, the land of freedom, is still the home of the brave. So raise the banner.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. And now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk. We're delighted you're joining us tonight for our Black History Month celebration. We're very honored to have as our guest for tonight's show a real legend of the stage and television, the one and only, the incomparable Nell Carter. Nell, welcome to Straight Talk.
Thank you so much. And what a moving, moving opening.
Isn't it?
What a, just such, I mean, I feel so patriotic. But and to have Randy sing it, he's such a nice man.
And you lived in New York, I know, for part of your life.
Yeah, I lived there quite a lot. And I'm one of those people that has not been able to go back.
Well, you're out in L.A. now, Nell, yeah. And we're so thrilled that you will be starring in the International City Theater's production of Raisin this February. What brought you to Long Beach and to the ICT?
Well, actually, I saw a play here a while ago, several years ago, and I liked the theater, and I felt a little envious. Then I came back, and I saw Jodi Benson perform, and I wanted to just pull her by the hair and take her off the stage and let me go up there. I just wanted it so badly. And then when I heard about Raisin, and I thought, whoa, I want that role. I want that role 30 years later, the history behind it. I just wanted it, so they went after it, the people that worked for me, and I got
there
it.
You are.
Thank you.
Now, Raisin was a very significant play when it was written back in 1959, showing a black working class family facing the challenges. And then, of course, it was made into a musical that won a Grammy and
Tonys, all
and
kinds of Tonys.
A 3-year run on Broadway and then a record-breaking national tour and
a movie too.
And a movie, of course, with the
Sidney Poitier.
Incomparable Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
And of course, as most of our viewers know, but let me state for the record, Our guest here is a Tony Award-winning performance from the wonderful show Ain't Misbehavin' on Broadway, which I was privileged to see you in that show back in 1978,
I think it was. I wasn't even born then.
You're so young. My God, that was 20 years ago, and you won a Tony, and you look like a teenager today.
It's 30 years ago. I wish it was all makeup.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
Whatever, but that was a wonderful show, and you will be singing in Raisin, of course.
Yes, this is the musical version. What we are doing is, we're trying to pull in the book as she wrote it, and to bring it together with the musical to give it more of the oomph. You know, so you don't see it as just a black family. You get to see that this could be any family that is doing, you know, the oppression of what a man goes through to become the man.
What an appropriate play for Black History Month.
Exactly.
In February. And of course, our guests not only starred on many Broadway stage shows, but also she's famous for television. And give me a break, Rand, for 5 or 6 years and won a couple of Emmy nominations, and we all know you from that.
Yeah, I've been very, very lucky, very lucky.
And there's your family from Give Me a Break.
Oh, boy.
Brings back some memories.
Yeah, I still see two of them.
Really?
The oldest daughter just got married. She's out of the business. Both daughters on the end got married, and they're out of the business.
See, you look the same now as you did in that photo.
I don't think so. But see, the baby one at the top,
uh-huh.
Samantha, she's now practicing law in Pennsylvania and in New York, and she gave that up to come back to acting. Joey Lawrence, of course, is a hunk. And Dolph Sweet passed on. He was a very good friend, and I feel very privileged that we can still all talk.
You bet. And of course, you make many guest appearances on television on a variety of shows. You've been to two presidential inaugural galas, Sammy Davis Jr.'s 60th anniversary celebration. And of course, you put in guest appearances, and you were nice enough to bring a clip of one of your guest shots on Ally McBeal. So let's take a quick look at the wonderful Nell Carter.
You're my friend. You say how, and I'll say when. You may never get this chance again. That if they feel it's just about to end.
That is hysterical.
It was like a sequel of where I was a matchmaker who matched up the wrong people. And so no matter where you came, I was there. The hair changed, everything. It was nice. I loved Brooklyn and Shell.
Well, now, television is different from the stage. And
yes.
I guess, do you have a preference, or it's you're performing and that's your love, and wherever it is, you love it?
Well, I just finished a movie called Swing, where I worked with a director who I would call an actor's director. If I'm working with anyone who is an actor's director, I can give my best. But when I'm working with a director who has already decided where I'm going to stand, how I'm going to act, and what I'm going to do...
That blocks your creative energy.
Blocks it. It means I don't bring anything in. You've already told me that you want me to turn. Would you say now?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm like, no, but when you get with the director, it's different. So it's very hard for me to say what I like doing the most. I like doing symphony dates. The more high caliber they are, the more I like doing them.
And you grew up doing coffee houses in Alabama.
Mm-hmm, but the
singing, I guess.
Yeah, yes, of course. I'm from Alabama. You couldn't do much else, okay? but I love the high caliber because the noses are too far in the air.
Did you ever do Porgy and Bess?
No, but I do sing numbers from.
Oh, I'd love to hear you do one someday.
I do a whole medley of Gershwin. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we'll be continuing with the incomparable Nell Carter, and let me remind you that Raisin is coming to town, so you don't want to miss seeing this star in the wonderful 30th anniversary production of Raisin at the International City Theater. We'll be back with more of our show after these messages.
Channel 3.
You're
looking at his camera. Hi. Stand by. 5, 4, 3.
Hi, I'm Nell Carter, and I'm begging you to please watch Art Levine on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6:30 on Channel 3. I have to tell you, I have done many shows, but I've never met a man, a Jewish white man, who knew more about black history than I do. Now, everybody's gone home. I'm still sitting here because I'm ashamed. But you want to know something? I think he's black. Trust me.
That's good.
Only problem was it's at Tuesdays.
Instead of Wednesdays.
One more time. Wednesdays
and Thursdays. Try it, it's okay.
Wednesdays and Thursdays? 6:30.
Yeah. Wednesdays and Thursdays. Stand
okay.
by. We're still rolling. 5, 4, 3.
Hi, I'm Nell Carter, and I'm begging you to please watch Art Levine on Thursdays and Fridays at 6:30 on Channel 3. The man is Chris. What is this?
Wednesdays.
You know what? You know what? Leave me alone.
Okay, whatever she says, we'll
okay.
graphic up now.
Okay.
5, 4, 3.
Hi, I'm Nell Carter, and I'm begging you to please watch Art Levine on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 6:30 on Channel 3. This man is really, really there. You want straight talk in California? This is probably the only place you're going to find it. Just watch him. He's good. You know what? He doesn't know it, but he's black. Shh.
We're continuing with the incomparable Nell Carter, and you are excited about appearing in Raisin.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. The one thing, although you have to understand, the woman, Lorraine, when she wrote it, was an actress, but she had that draw, the compelling thing to want to know everything, like James Earl Jones, James Baldwin, all these people, they were intellectuals, so they wrote too. And she writes it, it becomes a hit. And it was basically based on the life as she knew it as black.
Growing up in Chicago.
Right. But you want to know something, you can look at A Street Called Desire and see the same kind of parallels.
Sure.
What I'm trying to say to people who are interested or might not be interested is that this show has no boundaries. It shows how you can be down in the dumps and how you can be beating the head of the house in the ground and not knowing you're doing it, and how the matriarch, the mother or grandmother, can lay down such rules and you're so afraid of the Ten Commandments that you don't do them, and that when your daughter or son strive to be something better, you don't want them to, because people don't want to see you moving on up, you know, they don't want that. So the thing that is very important I want to get across about the show is that I hope that people can come in and see themselves, you know, actually can see myself as a Jewish mother. That,
now, wait a minute, I have to stop. A Jewish, you're Jewish?
I'm very Jewish.
Oh, my God.
No, you say, oh, Adonai.
You're Jewish. Okay.
Shana Tova.
And your son was bar mitzvahed.
My oldest son just had his bar mitzvah.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You must be a very proud mother.
I was so proud. Joshua did his, because his fell at the last day of Hanukkah, and he also had to do the story of Joseph, so he had to do a long program. And since then, he's been asked to speak on every Shabbos, you know, somewhere, because he reads Hebrew like crazy. It means nothing. As a matter of fact, he didn't have to finish the eighth grade. They told him to start teaching other children.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Does he want to be an actor?
No, he wants to be a rabbi.
A rabbi?
He did want to be an actor, but I told him that he might die.
We've all died, yes.
Yeah, I'm a Jewish mother. I do not want my children to be an actor.
What would you like our audience to know as part of Black History Month about the black experience in America that perhaps white Americans do not fully appreciate?
Well, that is very hard. What would I like people to know?
I mean, communication is the key to understanding and to our society.
I think we need to stop stereotyping. Both of my children are mixed. I'm also a mixed child. So when they say black, white, I write other. You know,
it's none of the above.
You know, just other. I think, you know, if we stop, when some people
pigeonholing people.
Yeah, when you hear, well, they're black, and you automatically get this picture because you've done that without giving the person a chance. You can read Leroy Jones, and he could be a white man. You can meet John Smith III, and he could be black.
Well, I dare say that 99% of our viewers would not have guessed that you were Jewish before you just said it.
I am very definitely Jewish. Yes, I am. Very, and I practice.
Yeah. Well, we have a minute or two left, and there's so much we've covered, but there's so much we could cover. Are you hopeful about our American society? You've seen the changes from going up decades ago in Alabama to where we are today, and I think there's been significant improvement in understanding and tolerance. We still have unfinished business.
Yes, but being a mother, I have to say one thing that I don't know will go over well, but honestly, since Straight Talk,
I really
believe that we should stop adding books about new writers and go back and let's do some history. Because it really infuriates me, and I get angry every year, and I go marching right into the Beverly Hills School District for each son at two different schools. And I go in there, why are they still doing Rosa Parks? There is, we have so many, we have Colin Powell, we have all these other people. Why don't you give them the list with their names on it?
Yeah. And it is significant that in a Republican administration, two of the highest ranking officials are black Americans, Colin Powell, the Secretary of State,
right,
and the National Security Advisor. So you've come a long way, baby, as they say.
Let them know that we had black astronauts. You know, people don't talk about white. They don't talk about him. They don't talk about the female. You know, you're the, yes.
Well, we are at the end of our time together, my dear, but thank you for being on our show.
Leave you.
Thank you for your talent and what you've contributed to the stage and the screen and TV, and thank you for coming to Long Beach.
Thank you for your kind heart.
Thousands of kids in this country have everything it takes to go to college, except the money. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
We are back, continuing our show on the arts. The Palm Springs Follies is one of my favorite productions. They've been doing their marvelous shows for over 20 years. They have guest artists come in every couple of months, and Leslie Gore, the famed singer, is performing there now. And we recently had a chance to catch up with Leslie Gore. Let's take a look. We're back. I'm standing in front of the historic Plaza Theater, home of the fabulous Palm Springs Follies. The Follies are celebrating their 20th anniversary year. I love the Follies. I go almost every year. We're here to interview the legendary Leslie Gore. The show's about to begin, so let's go inside.
Nobody knows where my Johnny is gone. Judy left the same time. Oh, why was he holding her hand?
Leslie Gore has earned 2 gold records, been nominated for 2 Grammys, and received an Academy Award nomination for co-writing the hit Out Here on My Own from the motion picture Fame. We sat down with her immediately following her recent Follies performance. I asked her how, at the age of only 16, she came to have a number one record and how It's My Party became the anthem for a generation of teenage girls.
I was so interested in singing that I found myself a vocal teacher in New York City, and I would go in every Thursday from New Jersey, and I would take my vocal lesson. And one day my vocal coach said, Leslie, we're going to do something a little different today. Instead of having a lesson, we're going to go into a little studio, and you're going to record some piano voice demos. And we did. It was wonderful. And I left the studio that afternoon with little demos under my arm, and it was terrific. My cousin, Howie, who was a fight promoter, was seeing an agent by the name of Joe Glazer 2 days later because he managed a welterweight fighter by the name of Emil Griffith. And he gave my demos to Joe Glazer, who was head of ABC Booking. Joe Glazer was quite a prominent agent at the time. He called Irving Green, who was president of Mercury Records, and said, Irving, I got a great kid singer here, if you could use her. He sent the demo over to Irving Green. Irving Green put it on Quincy Jones' desk. Quincy Jones called me up, asked me if I'd like to record with him. It felt kind of wonderful because the perks were incredible. Suddenly, there was nobody could do enough for me. There were lots of wonderful... I was no longer a visitor anywhere. I was a guest everywhere. So when a disc jockey said, Leslie Gore from Tenafly, all of a sudden, kids would get in a car and come to Tenafly. It wasn't very difficult when you came to Tenafly to ask, where does Leslie Gore live? Oh, she lives up on the hill. I think it's 42 or 41.
Yeah, people going by here.
Constantly. We would wake up in the morning. They'd be camping on the front lawn. It was a very, very different time. At 16, I may have been a kid, and I might not have known a whole lot, but I did sense that this was a very fickle business. That was pretty easy to figure out. I suddenly had friends I never knew before and relatives popping up. So I realized that it was suddenly a very different world, and I also understood if I didn't finish school then, I probably wouldn't. So I had made that choice really very early on, and I was very grateful for it when it happened.
Gore headlined the celebrated 1964 concert film, The Tammy Show, which was considered one of the best rock and roll movies ever made. It also featured such stars as James Brown, Chuck Berry, The Rolling Stones, and The Supremes. So I asked her what her recollections were of that experience.
That just got released this year for the first time to the public, and it's selling like crazy. It was a wonderful event. In fact, some of the people that I met on that show, I met really for the first time in show business, and it was quite a learning experience for me. I managed to find myself a spot in the wings and just watch some of the greatest performers in the world on that stage.
Her fans are loyal. You see them waiting after the show to meet her and have their photos taken. She told me why she thinks her fan base is still so strong nearly 50 years later.
Well, it's the music that we share. There's something about this music that you hear when you're 15 to 18. It somehow just sticks with you. It's like Velcro. Yeah. I know my parents grew up to the big bands. That's what they love the most. We grew up to this. This is somehow what we cling to. And it's proven that this is the music we're always going to relate to. So there's something, whenever I speak to somebody out of this audience, they can tell me where they were the first time they heard "It's My Party." It's like knowing it's like knowing when you met your best friend. It's such a wonderful bond among people, and I share that with so many people. It's a very joyous, wonderful experience.
You don't own me. Don't tie me down, 'cause I know I'll stay.
Her hit, "You Don't Own Me," was hailed as the first proto-feminist anthem of the 60s. She told me how the song came about.
You know, interestingly enough, when I first heard that song, I didn't think of it as a song that women should sing to guys. I thought of it as a song that anyone could sing to another significant other. So I could easily see a guy singing that to a girl. So I thought of it more as a humanist song. Then as the song developed and some of the women's groups started adopting it for their causes.
But the song itself is neutral in a sense.
It is. A girl or a guy could sing it. I feel as though I was tremendously lucky to have been the one who found it and created that song, because I think it's a little bit more of an important song than "It's My Party."
What did you get, if I could use the word chutzpah, to get out there in front of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people and do it? Where do you find that?
Ralph Waldo Emerson said one thing that I read at a very young age, and it's pretty much my philosophy of life. If you're afraid, do it. And that's really been my philosophy through life. If I'm scared of something, I need to face it and do it so I'm not scared of it.
Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
We ended our conversation by talking about The Follies, both as a production and its amazing cast.
I have worked everywhere. I've worked for lots of different producers, and I have to say that I actually call Mr. Markowitz Mr. Remarkowitz, because I think he does an incredible job putting a show together. I have never been presented as beautifully as he does and as graciously, and it's one of the reasons I love being here, as well as this cast and crew and the whole production people. They're just wonderful people, and they've made me feel wonderful just to be here, so it's a great experience.
So that wraps up our interview with Leslie Gore and quick visit to The Follies. Their season runs till May 15th. Pay them a visit. I know you'll enjoy the show.
This Straight Talk Classic show has been brought to you through the generous support of SCAN, celebrating 40 years of keeping seniors healthy and independent.